IMRO's 2023 Best Local or Regional News Programme, The Voice of the Northwest, The 9 Till Noon Show with Greg Hughes.
You're very welcome back to the programme, 9 minutes past 10. Good morning if you just after joining us. Our thanks once again to Michael McLaughlin from Labour, Doreen Sheridan Kennedy, an advocate for Fine Gael, of course, and Michael White, chair of the Green Party. We appreciate their contributions. We appreciate, you know, we have all different voices of all different backgrounds on this programme, and people agree and disagree, but 99 times out of 100, it's all done very respectfully. Who appointed the RTE Board of Incompetence? Same parties as so many incompetent boards running publicly funded agencies and boards. Time for them to go, and time for the media to go after them for the incompetence and possible corruption in some cases. No accountability is the byword of Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil, previously Labour and now the Greens. I'm sick listening to the term, says a listener, so that it may never happen again. It always does in some shape or form. As for RTE, I suppose this can is heavier to carry than the can Ryan Tuberty had to carry, but sure, it can be written off as bad debt. Tell Doreen that I can't wait for Fine Gael to canvass at my door. My house is crumbling around me. Can't get on the unfair redress scheme, which is nowhere near 100%. My life is destroyed because of it. I really look forward to meeting them. Yeah, it's going to be a big, big issue. There's just absolutely no doubt about it. And, you know, even this week, we heard three personal stories. As you know, we continue to platform that issue here on the show. We heard three different stories, all affected by the same. One in that a person, there's no leeway in the scheme to accommodate people's life. You know, say for instance, a child with a disability or additional needs or what have you. Another house crumbling around, no alternative accommodation. Others then talking about the dangers it poses just living in these houses to people's long-term health, and on it goes. And those voices will continue to be heard on this programme until such time as people feel that the right decision has been made. Are the Greens still facilitating gold mining in Inishowen? I'm not sure. Last time I checked, there were licences and scouting and stuff. I'm not sure what the story is there. Can you ask Michael how we can get to Galway for an early hospital appointment? No bus if you have an electric car. No charge points. Eamon Ryan on your show had no answer. Maybe in 2 to 3 years, indeed. And, you know, the interview with Eamon Ryan, sometimes it is the answers or the non-answers that people can take on board and say, well, what does this mean? If we wait any longer, there'll be no one left in Gaza. We all know the government are afraid to upset America, says a listener. It's not just the government, though. The annual St. Patrick's Day exodus is taking place. The government will be over there. I believe Mary Lou McDonald's travelling over to meet as well. I mean, are you in favour of that? Do you think a stand could be made in that regard? Why is the Green representative not jumping up and down about all the explosives and munitions that the Israelis are using in their war and the massive effect it's having on climate? According to their beliefs, if the Greens caught you burning some rubbish in a barrel in your garden, they'd nearly want to jail you. I think I get the point that you're making, but I think if you, particularly in the Gaza situation, if you started talking about the environmental of explosions and munitions whilst 25,000 people, most of them children and women, not involved in any conflict at all, you'd be hung, drawn and quartered for that, because you'd be saying, oh, you're worried about the environment, but not the... Do you know what I mean? It's not an argument I think can be made. Will Oliver Callan be able to do his Callan Kicks now on a Friday? Yep, indeed, he's continuing with that show. Now that he's bethroned to the firm. Although he did hold out as he got his other gig. Strange that RTE were against everyone else doing Nixers, as that's what got them into this. RTE's a bit like Hotel California. You can check out any time, but you can never be fired. Thanks, Kevin. You can never be fired. Hi, Greg. How could you vote for Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil that stood for over 100 years shouting across at each other after saying each in turn has destroyed the country, then banded together just to keep another party out? Where is the morals or even their loyalty to such parties? Not in a million years would I vote for the Green Party, says a listener. Regarding governance, says another, perhaps a wake-up call that all public-funded services be scrutinised. Often money thrown at services, example the HSC, education, others, to supposedly enhance services, with much overspending in various departments, while other department staff struggle for the basics. Like, I would... One call I'd be very interested in, and this is not in any way to suggest impropriety, but say, for instance, you know, we as parents, guardians, are asked to contribute to schools. You know, we have to pay. Apparently education is free, but this is just one thing. We have to pay towards voluntary. It's not voluntary, but you know what I mean? Like, I would love to see the books. What's the outgoing? What's the spend? Where's the money going? What's left over? What are you short? Why do you have to look for money off parents all the time? Things like that, I think we should have more transparency on. That's nonsense about the National Biodiversity Action Plan. Ask the NGOs like Irish Wildlife Trust or Birdwatch Ireland. God help us, says another, if the Greens get in again, we'll be walking barefoot and using candles in the house if they get their way. And if Sinn Féin, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, well, we're finished there too. Not one decent party anymore. They let the people down all the time, says a listener. Greg, can you ask the Green Party why they're against the mother and baby redress scheme? I wasn't sure that they were. I hope that we see Pat the Cope Gallagher back in the local elections, as he's one of the only candidates who worked tirelessly for Donegal. Well, he didn't rule it out. He says he would be there if needed, I think. A caller says many people couldn't afford a TV licence. Many people went to court for €160 when someone was taken to prison for that. £2.2 million in funding, and people who couldn't afford the TV licence were expected to pay it. It's ridiculous. Yeah. That's it. And it's, you're paying on the double as well, too, because the RTE is funded... I'm not exactly sure of the exact figures. I think it's 148 odd million that they get from the taxpayer, direct funding, okay? So it's taken out of your taxes in any case. And then there's 148 odd million that they make from the licence fee. I believe that's it. So really, it's actually the public paying on the double, nearly €300 million for RTE. Now, at this point, there is, through Commissioner Mann, there's some licence payers' money on a very small scale filtering down to stations like this and what have you for specific programmings. But obviously, the absolute vast majority of funding for stations like our News Talk, Highland, Ocean, Shannonside, whatever, it's private. So almost €300 million, for the most part, is taken from the taxpayer, by hook or by crook, to fund RTE. A caller says, I hope Fine Gael get a good beating in the local elections and their colleagues in Fianna Fáil. Well, we shall see. Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, two very popular parties, very high representations on local authorities. I don't think it's going to be quite the wipeout that people might think it might be. As I say, there's lots of people out there, and often some of the last ones to speak out for one reason or another, who support Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, and their policies and what they're doing and their councillors and how they're working for them. But as I say, we don't get as many of those texts in as I would like. And the only reason I would like them is that the comments I read out are more representative of our region. Okay, listen, thanks so much. Keep them coming. Loads to come on the show. Stay right where you are. Let's take a break for the bingo numbers. Okie doke. So the NCBI has been renamed as Vision Ireland and is rebranding its 124 stores across Ireland. And NCBI has become such a familiar moniker for the organisation. Everything remains the same, but the name has been changed to Vision Ireland. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to speak to someone who benefits and works with Vision Ireland, and also we're going to talk a little bit about the bingo, because you do an awful lot in supporting Vision Ireland. So I'm going to say good morning to all of our guests. Katie McGee joins us, has responsibility for the bingo here in Highland. Good morning, Katie.
Hello there. How are you doing?
Good to have you with us. And you might need to stick your headphones on. Sorry, I should have mentioned that beforehand.
No problem. Sorry.
Okay, because you'll want to hear from Kevin Kelly, National Strategic Partnership Manager with Vision Ireland. Good morning to you, Kevin.
Good morning, Greg, and to all your listeners.
It's great to have you back on the show. And also Danny Cahill, Regional Manager in the Northwest with Vision Ireland. Good morning, Danny.
Good morning, Greg. Good morning, everyone.
Can I start with you, Danny, if that's okay? So the decision to change NCBI to Vision Ireland, I mean, obviously there's brand recognition there, there's signage, there's letterheads, there's whatever. It's a big, big decision, isn't it? But anyway, what was the catalyst behind it and the purpose for it?
Yeah, as you say, it's a big, big decision. I mean, we were founded in 1931, Greg, so that's 93 years. So I was told, probably according to our story, 93 years ago, there was a big decision when we went for that original name. And as you say, Greg, we're known as NCBI and have been for most of that time. I think the biggest issue was there was two main reasons. One is people who were being referred to us, and a lot of the healthcare professionals who would refer people to us as well. I think for a lot of people, there's a very strong connotation with blind and blindness. And unfortunately, Greg, as you know, that there are negative connotations with that. So what we wanted to make sure is that as many people as possible who required a service and support from us got it, so that making sure that they were referred to us in a timely manner. And also people themselves didn't feel that, well, hold on here. I know I've been diagnosed with a particular eye condition. I know my sight has changed quite significantly, but I'm not blind. I was told very clearly I would never lose all my sight. So we work with a whole range of people, and I suppose Vision Ireland tries to reflect that. So we are very, very busy, but we also want to make sure that not only people come to us, are referred to us, but also get the service when they require it, rather than maybe years later when they find out actually we work with people across a whole range of sight loss, yeah, not just people who are totally blind.
And of course, too, the word vision has multi meanings. Vision being, you know, all encompassing in terms of sight, but also, you know, a vision for a country that is, you know, inclusive and accessible to people with all visual abilities.
Yes, exactly, and that is, it's a positive thing. Now, I'm not going to pretend everybody's happy with it. I suppose it takes some adjustment, particularly for such an old organisation.
We don't like change, and we don't.
But I think certainly the feedback we've had recently, and particularly from people who've been referred to us, who probably they might have heard of NCBI, they might have heard Greg Highland Radio's NCBI Bingo, but weren't really sure what it was and what it entailed. And the feedback we've had over the last couple of months since we did rebrand was, okay, actually, I do realise that you actually are a service that I can benefit from, and I'll tell other people as well, which is exactly why we did it.
Okay. Danny Cahill, Regional Manager in the Northwest with Vision Ireland. Any reluctance from you in the name change?
No, I've been.
Sorry,
around,
I beg your pardon. Danny. That was for Kevin. I beg your pardon.
Apologies.
I didn't wish to introduce you twice. I'll come back to you though. Kevin Kelly, National Strategic Partnership Manager with Vision Ireland. What was your take on the name change?
So I think for context, to build on what Danny said. As an organization, we have been considering changing from NCBI to Vision Ireland, where we ended up over the last 5 years. And there's been a lot of consultation. And I suppose I went on a personal journey myself, as well as being an employee. I'm totally blind. I would have lost my own sight in 2001. So, you know, the word blind really means something to me, and moving to Vision Ireland, you know, does that reflect, you know, someone who's totally blind? But as I was involved in the conversations and listened to the different perspectives, I'm 100% certain that it was the right thing to do, because it's more reflective of the clients or service users that use the services of Vision Ireland, because less than 5% of the people that use the services are totally blind, like myself. So the 95% of people have some level of vision. So I think it was the right thing to do. We're a couple of months on now, as Danny says, the feedback has been overwhelmingly positive. And over time, those people who aren't maybe as happy with it will, you know, go on the same journey as myself and recognize that perhaps it was the right thing to do.
Yeah. And you, as to say, you lost your sight, you had sight, you lost your sight. You've been through the entire journey, and now working not only with Vision Ireland, but also in Leinster House, and a member of the Irish National Blind Football Development Squad. So you have a heavy workload, Kevin, in the first instance, but an important job I think you're doing across all the various things that you're involved in.
Yeah, no, and the things that I have achieved in my life and in my career to date are very much down to the work of NCBI at the time, now Vision Ireland, who helped me when I lost my sight in 2001. And for your listeners' information, you hear from my accent, I'm actually from Donegal up there in Clamany out in Uris. And Danny was actually my community resource worker back in the day. I'm sure he'll thank me for telling that live on the radio and putting an age on him. But like Danny and the team in the Northwest would have worked with me around providing long cane training, independent living skills, computer and IT skills, and all of those things over a sustained period of time allowed me to return back to the community school, go to college, and do those things that you've achieved. So, you know, I represent, you know, as someone who has really benefited from the services, and I'm a strong advocate for the work of the organization. And we're here today to talk about the bingo and the support of your listeners to Highland Radio allow us to continue that work, because we only receive 70% of the funds that are required to run our services from the state or the HSE.
Okay. Katie McGee's with us as well. Katie, I mean, this has been a, you know, a really successful partnership, hasn't it, between Highland Radio, formerly NCBI, now Vision Ireland?
Yeah, I mean, like, and we're seeing it grow as well, which is brilliant. And I think actually the brand change will only serve to benefit the growth of the bingo as well, because I feel like if you haven't required the services of the NCBI, whether no matter what level of sight impairment you have, you might not have, you might not know who they are based on the name NCBI, but you certainly will know who you're supporting with the name Vision Ireland. Mm. And also, if any of our listeners require those services kind of newly, or told that they might need them down the line, they will know Vision Ireland as a service that they can use. It's very black and white. It's very there, you know, and out there. And yeah, absolutely. Just to give you an idea of how well we did last year, in the year of 2023, we just did shy of €250,000 in sales in bingo books, which is just under 50,000 books that we sold. Put that into perspective, nationwide, that might not seem like a lot, but we're not selling nationwide at the moment. We're selling within the Northwest or our listenership. But we have increased our sales to include online sales. So we have our bingo books on sale through the outlet, which we have discussed at length here on the show through various different for various different things. But the bingo books are there, and we are seeing that bingo books are being sold to people in the likes of Sligo and other counties. Yep. Where we're not kind, we might not necessarily be on air. So it's great, because I'm hoping now in 2024 we're going to see more growth there on top of our very valuable retailer sales, and that will bring it a little bit further down the line.
And for me, what that boils down to is a huge thank you to the players, because what this is all about is raising money for the national, raising money for Vision, Kevin, whoops, don't laugh at me. This is raising money for Vision Ireland to do the fantastic work that they do. So thanks to each and every one of you out there who buys a bingo book. Yes, there's a bit of fun in it for you, and it's an opportunity for you to win a few bob. But and I think this is one of the main motivations from our fantastic listeners is that they know that they're supporting a fantastic organisation that works with so many people locally. So a big thank you for supporting this great initiative. Danny, you do an awful lot of work. You know, we talked early on about, I think it was Katie that mentioned, people that would be contacting the service for the first time. You know, that's a call that you have to handle with such care and understanding and what have you, isn't it? And you're fully equipped to do that. But you start then on a journey with the person that reaches out to you.
Yeah, I mean, as it was correctly said there, let's be honest. I mean, and that's true for a lot of social and health services. You don't really think about any of them until you require them or a member of your family requires them. And why would you, unless you have some experience in the past? And I think it's really important that when people contact us for the first time, and for a lot of people, as you say, Greg, it's a big, big step. It's for some people, it's a recognition that they actually do need help. We find that often people come to us not particularly early in their journey of sight loss. It may have been 1 or 2 years, or even longer in some cases. That you know they've been dealing with doctors, they've got a diagnosis, they're trying to do their best. But then when they come to us, they actually recognise, well, firstly, that they're not on their own. I think people are quite surprised that I think we worked with over well over 600 people in the Northwest last year. And they realize that actually there are people going through the same thing, and that's really important. And that's why we have peer groups as well who come together, and people can join those groups. Now, luckily through technology, people don't actually have to be physically present. They can join online, but that conversation allows people to, and for some cases as well, Greg, to talk about their situation for the first time.
Yeah.
We often recommend that people come with a family member when they come into our centre here in Letterkenny or in Sligo, because I think it's really important that firstly the person is supported, and we often hear it could be a spouse, it could be a close relative, an adult child who say, you never said any of that before.
Yeah, yeah.
You never discussed this with me. You never told me how you felt, because I think what's really important, as you say, Greg, that's handled well. Mm-hmm. It's handled sensitively, but also it's not just an outpouring of this is how I'm feeling, this is what the issues are, these are the issues that I'm struggling with, these are the things that I used to be able to do and I've stopped doing, or I don't have the confidence to do.
Yes.
It's also saying, okay, let's figure out with you what we need to work with you on. Let's figure out with you what your priorities are. What do you want to do? What are the issues that you want to deal with? Where are the areas of your life that you need the support? As Kevin mentioned, there's a whole range of services.
Yeah.
Now, some people will actually take up
that too.
Most of them, but not all. But it's just taking people at their own pace.
Yeah, there's tips and tricks. There's aids. There's technology. There's stuff that, where would you even begin to research this yourself, that you have all of that knowledge and information on? And Kevin, I think too, everybody's an individual, and I always try and, as much as possible, not to group people in. But I presume for most people, there is like, wow, what does this mean for me? What will I be able to do? Effectively, is my life over? And, you know, I presume there are a whole range of thoughts and emotions that many people go through like that there. And then they can look to someone like you and others within the organisation and other people's stories who've pretty much gone on to achieve everything they wanted to, and perhaps I would say, in some cases, achieve things that they may never have achieved if they hadn't got a particular diagnosis. I'm not saying everything's rosy in the garden either, Kevin, but do you take my point? And that's, I think, the benefit of engaging with an organisation like Vision Ireland.
Absolutely, because everyone's story of sight loss is unique in how they feel about it, and it depends on when it happens to you. Looking at my own example, losing it when I was 14, quite suddenly, that was a huge transition. And myself or my family, we didn't know what was next, what was going to be possible. I had people saying to me, "Ash, you're on the plus side, you won't have to go to school again." And, you know, comments like that. But I quickly discovered that wasn't the case. And you are right. And I think it's very important to get across that, you know, you might want support. There could be somebody listening this morning that might be struggling to, you know, read the newspaper, one of the local papers that we have in Donegal, due to their vision impairment. But there are aids that are available through the Letterkenny office and the Sligo office that can make that possible. There's also technology. It's rapidly developing. There's very few things now that I can't do on a computer or on a phone that a sighted person can't do, and that's all due to technology, and that's evolved in the 20 odd years at such a rapid pace. And Yes, I can say for absolute certainty, if I hadn't lost my sight, I wouldn't have represented my country in any sport. But I've played for Ireland eight times, and organisations like Vision Ireland played a key part in my rehabilitative journey and got me up on my feet and supported me through that hugely traumatic life event for myself.
Yeah, and there's other stuff, advocacy stuff as well. Parking on footpaths, street furniture, overhanging branches, dog poo, and on it goes. And Vision Ireland has a very important role in sparking those conversations, as it does a number of times throughout the year as well. But we as individuals ourselves have to make changes. Little things, even like I used to put text over images. Until I was pulled up by a regular instance says, you know, I can't, my reader can't read that. I'm like, all right, didn't realise it, haven't done it again since. It's just little, and that is little things in the wider scale of what we're talking about, but it's just thinking a little bit about how we are all different and have different abilities to access stuff. Right, Katie, in terms of the bingo then, so our listenership is so incredibly generous in supporting Vision Ireland. It truly is amazing. But, you know, there's something in it for them as well. So just remind us of the structure of the bingo. It's you play five times a week, cash prizes, jackpots, go on.
Absolutely. First of all, you're so right, and I didn't mention that, and I do apologise, but thank you so much to all the regular players and to all the new players that I'm seeing coming on and buying the bingo books. It really is appreciated. And as you've heard, the money's going to such an exceptional cause. But the structure of the bingo, we have daily prizes each day starting at €400. So each day the bingo prize is €400. If it's not won, it rolls over to the next day and there's another €200 added. So say if it's not won on Monday at 400, Tuesday €600 prize, and so on and so forth. You have till 8 o'clock in the evening of the of that day to claim.
And just generally speaking, how often do the daily prizes roll over?
Well, sometimes it depends. Some weeks we get winners every day, you know, like, and then other times we're seeing people win €1,000, €1,200, you know. So it depends, but very much so we're seeing people claim,
and it accumulates, you know? Exactly. So my point being is it's not like it rolls over into eternity and you can't win. People are winning regularly every single week.
Every week.
And then the jackpot on a Thursday.
The jackpot on a Thursday then works similarly to the daily prize in that it starts off at 5,000 and it increases by €200 each week until it's won. So I think at the moment, I think we're at
this is kind of basic information you should have come in with.
I apologize.
The jackpot?
I think the jackpot yesterday was 7-8.
Good. All right, brilliant.
And it wasn't won. The jackpot was not won yesterday, so we are rolling up to, I believe, 8,000 for next week. So that's quite exciting.
Yeah.
And like that goes on and on until it's won. So the last jackpot rolled over and over and over for ages. But then previous to that, we had two winners quite close to one another. Mm-hmm. So I think the last jackpot winner won over €20,000. But then we had two winners that were quite close to each other that won. I think one won around 6,000 and the other one won around 7,000 or 8,000.
Now, the books are available in retail outlets right across the region and on our website at the outlet. Danny, don't want to be too parochial on these things, but you know, like people do like to know that the money they contribute benefits their neighbours and friends and what have you, and whether it's ring fenced and definitely goes into the Northwest or not, you can confirm to that. But the money is spent here in the Northwest in Donegal.
It is, yeah, because I think we have, as Kevin has said, you know, we have a quite significant shortfall of, you know, the money that it costs to run the services that we run here in the Northwest, but obviously nationally, there is a shortfall. So it is crucial. It is an exceptional, I have to say, Greg, it is an exceptional fundraiser, and the generosity and the support of listeners to Highland Radio is really, really quite something. I think something else to say as well, Greg. We last year, I just did the figures, doing a report for 2023. We had a 30% increase in people being referred to us. Now, that is unprecedented. Now, we still think it's a sort of It's a catch up from thing, the COVID times,
still,
you know, when
still,
a lot of services, there's a lot of catch up there still, you know.
And there was a lot of people then who probably had to go through the pandemic with this with them as well too. So that's actually really significant, that number, whichever way you look at it. Danny, listen, we'll be chatting. We'll be chatting again, of course, whenever it is the right time to do so. We take your guidance in relation to that. Thanks so much for explaining the name change, and you know what? In a year, it'll all be just the norm. Thanks very much indeed. Take care of yourself. And Kevin, lots of people messaging in, not with an awful lot of words, but Kevin is great. Kevin is brilliant. Kevin is this, that, and the other. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on, but. A lot of love for you here today, Kevin, as well with Danny, but particularly for you today, Kevin.
I'm sure there's not a negative one in there too, Greg.
Well, I can't find it. Don't worry about that, no. Listen, keep up the great work and continued success, Kevin, and we'll talk to you again too, of course, in the not-too-distant future.
Thanks very much.
Thanks for your time. Really appreciate it. And Katie, just recap where we found exactly what the public's generosity is doing and the importance of that. And again, a big, big thank you. People can, and it's not a club, right? There's not a regular commitment. You can today, if you've got a fiver extra, you can buy a book for next week. Then you don't have to play, or you do play. It's completely up to you. But sometimes I think these things, because, oh, that's a Highland bingo. I'm not involved in that. It's open to everyone whenever you want.
Yes, and also it's important to mention that our bingo numbers are read out on air, obviously, like four or five times a day, but we also have them on our website at highlandradio.com. And they're also available on our dedicated bingo line, which is 074-910-4833. It's the same number you use to log your claims. But the bingo numbers are there as well. So you are available. They're available throughout the whole day whenever you want, whenever you can pick them up.
Good stuff. All right. Thanks very much, Katie. Really appreciate you calling in and helping us to get the message out there. Thanks again to Kevin Kelly, Danny Cahill, Katie McGee. Hard to believe that we're just around the corner now from Highland Radio's Hospitality Awards. We're going to talk a little bit about that now with Sean Quinn, head of sales here. Hi, Sean.
Good morning, Greg. How
good
are you?
Good to have you, and I'm doing fantastic. Okay, again, another huge reaction, a huge involvement from the public in selecting, I suppose, in the first instance, the nominees, and then obviously subsequently then the finalists. So there's been a huge public interaction here.
Yeah, it's been massive, Greg. it's hard to believe it. We started this process just before Christmas. Over 13,500 nominations that came in from the public, which was absolutely phenomenal. It blew us away again. Our customer service was huge, and this is just as big. So we're delighted. And the great thing is, there's a great mix of businesses right across the county. And so we've been doing our hard work, our due diligence, and our judges have been involved. And we're at the process now. We're making who's going to win. And all will be revealed on the night on the 11th in Jackson's Hotel. But there's some really interesting categories and some heavyweights up against each other, which will be good.
We look forward to that. Just in relation to tables or seats or what have you, is there any availability for the actual night?
It's very limited. I think we're getting to the stage where we're almost sold out. The girls are working, Karina and Nanya are working very hard on it. If we've tickets left, we've literally about 10 or 15 left. That's it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we could end up with a waiting list. It's proven very popular for obvious reasons. It's going to be a brilliant night. Everybody coming together. It'll be good crack. Yeah. It'll be high energy. It'll be a brilliant night. So,
well, the last ones were great fun, it has to be said. Now, in terms of the nominees, the shortlist or the nominees, that all came from the public themselves, which was great to see. As you said, the amount of people getting involved in that is huge. And then the judging, of course, then is independent as well. So in other words, we have no influence on the outcome. Us being Highland, huh?
Thankfully.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say something that questioned that.
Not at all. No.
All right, no, we don't. So talk to us about our external judging panel. Tourism and entertainment sector, sponsored by iHeating and Cooling. Noel Cunningham back on board again. Yeah. And who better to cast an eye over tourism and entertainment?
Yeah, and he'll add great value on the night as well, Greg. But his experience of the industry is fantastic. We were delighted he came on board. So at this moment in time, he is busy actually scrutinising the entries and the nominations from that and the shortlist. And we will hopefully in due course in the next few days, we'll have the results for that. Martin Harley is in the restaurant sector. Martin's actually, you know, he's within the industry as well, has been for a long time, has been in the bar business. So we're delighted to have him on board. And then for the pub and bar sector, we have Kevin Doher. He's a.k.a. the Wild Atlantic Traveller. And finally, the hotel sector is Kieran O'Hanran. He's the former head of the hospitality at ATU. So there's a great in-depth there of experience. And I'm just delighted it's them that's doing it. And I don't have to be involved.
Yeah, for sure. Now, in terms of the categories, they are very inclusive. And I think this was something as well that was done through the hospital, the previous awards, the business awards, is in that it's a catch-all for all different types of businesses, whether you are a huge hotel venue or you have a small coffee dock or something that you are, you know, you've an equal chance of getting the recognition that you deserve. Tourism hugely important in this county, not in terms of just revenue, employment, and etc. So let's pick out some of the categories. Tourism and entertainment sector.
Yeah. So we've got the best family venue, and the shortlisted businesses for that are Century Complex, Eclipse Cinemas, and Oakfield Park.
I wouldn't like to have to choose between those three amazing businesses, but let's face it, they have been shortlisted out of a very, very competitive category, so an amazing achievement nonetheless. Tourism Attraction of the Year again. This is a toughie. This is what I could row about, actually, but anyway.
I know, so we've got Sleeve League Boat Trips, which is fabulous. The Crawley Distillery, which I went round last year, is very, very good. And then, of course, the infamous Fannet Lighthouse. Yep. So that's a toughie also.
Yeah, indeed. Best pint of Guinness. This is an interesting one. Again, I don't drink Guinness, but there could be a row on this one as well. But go on.
I'd say you'd probably have to go and test these. So you've got Farron's Bar. You'll do a bit of travelling now as well to actually be able to do this. McGuigan's Bar. And then the Cottage in Letterkenny is one. Now, I know that I have one boy who frequents that on a regular basis, and he would swear by the Guinness in there.
One other thing too, best bar person of the year too, and I think for me, what makes a pub or what contributes greatly to it is the person behind the jump or the people behind the jump, and it's not just necessarily in terms of efficiency or what have you, it's actually just their personality as well. So I'm really pleased to see those people being recognised. Best fish and chips too in the restaurant sector, best burger. Again, hugely competitive.
I know, and it's and I would know most of these businesses, and they're all very deserving of it. So in fish and chips, you've got Johnny's Ranch, you've Fry's Rest, and you've Biddy O'Barnes. So they're all very, very good. Everyone's a winner in that section, in my eyes.
Best hotel breakfast too: Arnold's Hotel, Clannery Hotel, Harvey's Point Hotel. A wedding venue of the year, another hugely competitive one. The finalists there: Villa Rose, Clannery Hotel, Drumhalla House. So the night is the 11th of February, Jackson's Hotel in Bala Buffet. Kicks off with a drinks reception at 6, followed by dinner and the awards ceremony. And as I say, for those of you who didn't go along to the last one but come to this one, it's high-paced, it's fast, it's energetic, it's fun. And there's no foot dragging. It's good crack from beginning to end. And the food and the reception we're going to get at Jackson's, of course, is guaranteed to be great as well.
Yeah, I'm sure they're going to look after us well on the evening. We have a few spot prizes on the evening as well, which I'll keep a bit of a secret. But it'll be, and it's, I suppose I'd be killed if I don't mention this. The dress is Dress to Impress. It's not black tie. You don't have to wear black tie, but Dress to Impress on a Sunday evening.
Which of your two jackets are you going to wear?
I'm going to put a new one.
Why don't you put the red one on and sing us a song?
I'll sing you a song anyway, Greg.
All right, okay. Excuse me. We are, all jokes aside, genuinely excited for that. I can't wait to see everybody there.
It's
and it is actually going to be, because with the Dress to Impress, it allows people to do wear whatever they want. And it, the last time it was like a fashion show between the jigs and the reels.
That was just me and you.
That was just me and you, exactly. Listen, looking forward to it. Thank you very much indeed. And the next information we actually get are the winners on the night, isn't it? There's nothing really between now and then.
That's us now. We're behind the scenes. We're working hard on it. We're as I said, there's very limited tickets left. Mm. If you're nominated and you haven't returned your call, you've received a call, please do very quickly because the tickets will be gone.
All right, lovely stuff. Thanks very much, Sean. And fair play to you and the team and all across the station working in one way or other. Appreciate your time. That's Sean Quinn, Head of Sales. Right, we're going to take a break as we head towards the news at 11 o'clock on this Friday's 9 till noon show.